Bless you all for what you're doing here, who you are and what you're doing. Just sitting in the back there listening to you sing, that's just a small window of how you minister to these residents. I just want to bless you in that and keep that up. Do it from your heart. Keep ministering to one another and keep ministering to them. God bless you for how you do that, representing your Father in heaven. I just want to bless Paul, too, for the time you spend with the residents. It's just so good to see so many residents here this morning, and I'm sure it's because of your relationship with them and the time you spend with them. God bless you for it. Children of the promise. Read the verse with me, including the reference. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians 6:18. Last evening I asked you if you are willing to believe that promise. I'm just reminding you, are you willing to believe that promise? That He will be your Father. You will be His sons and daughters. This morning, I want to talk about true sons and daughters. True, clear through. It has to do with integrity. That we are who we profess to be. Now, don't let that scare you. Our tendency, and Satan tries this on us too, is that, well, that's a tall order for me to bear the identity of my Heavenly Father. I better just not talk too much about it and just kind of do the best I can. No, that's a wrong response. Because we for sure don't... I'm going to move this pulpit. I don't like pulpits between me and my audience. Don't take that response. Keep professing. It's with the mouth that confession is made unto salvation. That's part of your salvation, is to say, I believe in Jesus. God is my Father through Jesus Christ and what Jesus has done for me. Keep professing. The other temptation is to, well, to be true clear through, I'll just back off. I won't walk it, and I won't talk it. God forbid. You are created to be His son and His daughter. Embrace it. That is the only way to have life. Let your life go and be His. True, clear through. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. He's clear. He is true. He is trustworthy. He is who He says He is, and there's no fake about Him. Let's begin reading here in verse 14, these verses that we talked about last evening. Follow along as I read, and then I'll have you join in some verses to help me read. Verse 14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship it has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness, and what accord has Christ with Belial, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. Now you join me in this. I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Keep reading with me. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. True, clear through. We're talking about integrity. God is light, and in Him is no darkness. And you are called to represent that to a deceptive world, to a world that is so confused and mixed up and so has such a combination of light and darkness. But God is not that way. And when people see God's children, they long to see that too, where it's true. What they say is what they are. What you see is what you get. True, clear, through. I think of what Jesus told Nathanael when Nathanael came to follow Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus. Jesus said, this is what he said about Nathanael. He said, a man in whom there is no guile. What a high compliment. I don't know what kind of a man Nathanael was. Was he a good man, or was he sinful? I'm sure he was a sinner, just like we all need Jesus. But there was something about him that he was not fake. He didn't pretend to be something he wasn't. He was honest about himself. He was honest about his strengths. He was honest about his weaknesses. He was honest about his failures. A person like that is so refreshing. So refreshing. And that's what I'm inviting every one of you to be this morning. This is something that you are able to be as you abide in the vine, as you keep your eyes on the Father and learn of Him and allow Him to father you. What communion has light with darkness? God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. We hate fake. That stinks. And yet we are so pulled into that so often, so easily. So much damage has been done by those who profess and don't walk. Fathers who rule as tyrants and yet don't submit themselves to the authority of the church or their boss. Mothers who don't trust God enough to trust their husbands and trust other people. They seem pious, but they manipulate and thus influence their kids to dishonor. People are distrusting. People worry. We're so easy to be self-protecting. We have to say the right things and try to do the right things and be in the right place and influence or control other people so things will work out for me. Gossiping, insecurity, manipulation. It makes you wonder if we don't have a Father to trust in. We don't have a dad to take care of us. If God isn't sovereign, if God isn't all-seeing in order to actually, and or all-powerful to take care of us. But He is. Let's just let go. Let go of our life that we can save it. We don't try to cling and hang on and to control everything in life. We let go of our life. In fact, we give our life away. We give our life away to God and to others in abandonment and let God take care of us. We just obey Him and follow Him and trust Him completely, however scary and vulnerable it feels. That's the path to being true, clear through. You have a Father to trust in. You have a God to trust in. So you can just let go and trust Him. You can just be free. You can just be the carefree three-year-old who knows that if they wander too far away, Mom and Dad will come trotting after them and catch them. Now, we don't want to wander away. We should be childlike in our trust, but not childish in our behavior. You know the difference. And then you meet some people, and you just automatically kind of have a suspicious feeling about them. It's like, what's up with this guy? Well, what's up with her? Well, what's she not saying? What is he hiding? Why is he so bluffing all the time? What's going on? Is this person for real? You just don't know. Something's up with them. What are they hiding? What are they trying to pull over you? You met those people? Have you met some of those? You're just not sure. Have you been some of those? Some of us have. Yes. Now, we don't want to be judgmental. Some people just always carry a mystery about them. They're always grinning like they're up to something. Or maybe their looks or their speech or something reminds us of someone we've known in the past who really was that way. We want to be careful. You know how. First impressions. Oh, Hillcrest is a great place for first impressions. Over and over at farewells, you know, you hear these staff say, well, when I first met you so-and-so, I thought you were whatever, bad. And now you're my best friend. Isn't that crazy? Let's embrace people, first impressions or not. Embrace people as our brother and sister that we've never met before. First John 1:3, truly our fellowship is with the Father. Our Heavenly Father. That's where we have the best fellowship. That's what our fellowship is. With the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So that's where we are as Christians. Our fellowship is with our Father. And I encourage you to practice this with your earthly fathers. Your earthly father should be one of your best friends. Complete with all his quirks and yours. Seek to have your earthly father as one of your best friends. That will help you have your heavenly father as your best friends. The reverse works as well. If you choose to have your Heavenly Father as your best friend, it will help you with your relationship with your earthly father. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. True, clear through. That's how God is. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness or hiding or deception or self-protection, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You're a liar. I'm a liar if I do that. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's beautiful. It's just so refreshing to see people who are, we call them, well-adjusted socially. What does that mean? Oh, he's a well-adjusted child. She's a well-adjusted child. Well, the best adjusted children are those who have adjusted themselves and are walking in the light in complete freedom. They're not trying to hide anything. They're not trying to prove anything. They're just free. And they can talk with anybody. They can be friendly to anybody. They don't have to be afraid of freaky people because they're walking in the light. And they have fellowship with every one of God's children. There's not division. There's not, well, you got to go over there and I got to go over here so we can exist. No. There's not division. They're free. They have fellowship with all of God's children. Now, there's limitations, but we have fellowship with all of God's children because we have the same Father. And we're walking in the light. We have nothing to prove, nothing to hide. We are true, clear through. And he keeps cleansing us. You know how it is when you work together. When you get close to other imperfect people, then your imperfections surface because of their imperfection, then your imperfections are showed up. No, they don't make you mad. They just reveal what's in you that you chose to get mad. Okay? Thank you. That is so true. It's my imperfection, and we gotta work together in order to see our own imperfections. Okay? And that's a beautiful thing. I want to see more of my imperfections so I can confess them and forsake them and become better and be cleansed. Put them under the blood. That's so beautiful. And yet we so don't want to be showing up. Stupid. It's so stupid. But that's how we act. We don't want to be showing up. Yes. Say, I want to be showing up. There's no other way to get better. There's no other way to grow, to improve, except by being shown up. And that's what happens when we have fellowship with one another. We're shown up. Yes, our good points are amplified as well. But it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And through that, we can become true, clear through. Now, when you're true, clear through, and you're walking in the light. I'm not saying that you have to say everything you know. People that say everything they know are boring people. You know that? There's no discretion. They're always talking, you know? So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about trying to hide things or deceive others or fear of being found out deep in our heart. That's what I'm talking about. Where we have nothing to prove, we have nothing to hide, we're not trying to convince others of anything about ourselves. We're not trying to convince others that we are something that we're not. We're not trying to deceive. That's what I'm talking about. True, clear through. And young men, be sincere. Just be sincere. I have nothing against joking. I love to joke. But if you're joking all the time, or bluffing all the time, or you have to have the biggest story to top the story you just heard, or if you have to always relate in sarcasm, don't try to hide behind all this stuff. Allow your true feelings to be felt and expressed. Allow yourself to be vulnerable. Get into that area where you feel kind of lost and you don't know how to act. There's no need to be tough. The most manly thing to do is to face all that emotional stuff that makes you feel vulnerable. Give sincere compliments. Blessing others and encouraging others. Be for real. Be sincere. Say what you mean in proper English. True, clear through. I love Psalm 15. It's just such a great little psalm, only 5 verses. But let's look at that together. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? Remember the verses we read yesterday from John 14, or Friday. John 14, it says, if you know my word or keep my commandments, I and my Father will come and make our home with you. So my question is, are you at home with your Father? Are you at home with your Father? Who can be at home with God? These verses tells you who can be comfortable and at home with their Father. Who may abide in your time? Who may dwell in your holy? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness. Look at those words. He who walks and works, not he who runs and plays. It's he who walks and works and speaks the truth in his heart. I love that King James terminology. Speaks the truth in his heart. It's not what you say to other people, it's what you say in your own heart. You're not afraid of yourself. You're willing to speak the truth in your own heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, why would you do that? Self-protection, trying to look as good as other people. Nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. This is the dumb stuff we tend to do. Verse 4, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. If you want to be comfortable with your Heavenly Father, find those who are conscientious and figure out a way to bless them and praise them and honor them and promote them instead of calling them a goody-goody or instead of fearing that they will show you up. Honor them. He who honors those who fear the Lord. And stop. Yeah, in whose eyes a vile person is despised. Don't in any way promote that. Stop talking about them even. It's just not, they're not even worth talking about, those corrupt celebrities or whoever it is. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. Now, we're taught in the New Testament, we don't swear at all. But you get the point. Where you say something, you promise something, you say you'll do it, and then when you find out it's going to cost you more than you thought it would, you still do it. I'm going to talk more about that. Being willing to suffer for what's right. You don't change. You're true. You're a person of your word. You're a man of your word. You're a woman of your word. And you don't change. You're not going to do this perfectly, but when you see that you're not cutting it, what you said, you admit it and you freely talk about it. Verse 5, he who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He doesn't take advantage of those he could take advantage of for his own promotion or for his own success or reputation. He who does these things shall never be moved. You will be established. You will be established in your place in the family of God, and nobody can push you out. You've got your spot. You've got your turf. If you are this kind of person, you will have your place in God's, at God's table. I just rejoiced as I heard you sing. I am my beloved's, and he is mine. He brought this vile sinner into his house of wine. Who may abide in your holy hill? It's this kind of person who is true, clear through, no matter what it costs. Being people of our word. Are you true to your commitments? If you say you'll do something, do you do it? Are you humble enough to write a note on your hand because you know you tend to forget? Young people, I face this with young people. Older people, a lot of them have learned that they need to write things down so they don't forget. But young people, oh, I can remember that. But then there's something else to remember, and as we get older, we have more and more responsibility and more, and pretty soon, young people, they just feel overwhelmed. Oh, get me out of here. Well, no, just write it down, and then you can... and put a reminder, set a thing on your phone, learn to be responsible so that when somebody gives you something to do, God gives you something to do, often through people, or when you see a need out there and you know and your conscience says, I want to meet that need, that you take a note of it. You organize yourself and you figure out how you're going to get it done. So it's not just some wishful thinking. It actually happens. Are you true to your commitments, to your appointments? When you say you will be somewhere at a certain time, can people depend on you being there? And if you're not making it, which it happens all the time, often you call them or you text them and you let them know, I'm sorry, I'm not going to make it. Are you true to the rules of your workplace, of your church, of your home, of your school, the promises you make? Are you faithful to your baptismal vows? Are you faithful to your commitment to your church? When you joined your church, nobody said you had to join. Well, I hope not. They're not supposed to say, you have to join this church. Nobody said you have to join the church. Our churches, I love our churches. It's volunteer. That's how the kingdom of God is. Nobody has to join the kingdom of God. But we voluntarily place ourselves under the authority of the church because that's where we can thrive the most. Jesus is coming back for his church. And so we voluntarily place ourselves under the authority of this local church and the parameters that this local church has provided, because that's where we can thrive the best. Now, as you voluntarily placed yourself under their authority, why do so many Christians then not be true to their commitment that they wouldn't have had to make? Well, you might say, well, I was too young to know what I was doing. But you're not too young now. You know what you're doing. You be faithful to your commitment to your church until God leads you elsewhere. Don't let Satan get a road into your life and have a foothold there. Let the authority of the church be a spiritual protection for you like none other. Are you faithful to the commitment to your church? Are you a person of your word? What you put your name on? You know, when you go to Bible school, you sign your name saying, I'll abide by the rules of this school. Do you then? Did you? If you didn't, go call them this afternoon and confess it and set yourself free. I remember at Bible school, I don't even remember, was I a student at the time or was I dean? But for a term or two, the administration decided to use these accountability slips. And so every week, students had to fill out these questions on these slips. It's like, this week I abode by curfew, and questions like that. And that was so upsetting to too many students. It upset them because they couldn't get themselves to lie on the slips, on the pieces of paper. But what was ridiculous is that they were already living a lie because they had signed the application that they would follow the rules of the school. So they were already living a lie. What's the difference between that and lying on the slips? That's what I'm talking about, being true, clear through. Years ago, I was here and talking with one of the young VS men. I don't even remember who it was. But I was just doing my thing. Do you still love Jesus? Are you keeping your conscience clear? And, oh, yes, yes. And as we keep talking, he said, well, one thing I still struggle with is listening to music. I still struggle with that. Oh, okay. Well, what kind of music is it? Well, it's country. You know, that pornographic lyric stuff. Country music. She struggled with that. Oh, okay. So I asked him, have you ever decided to stop listening to country music? And he said, no. And I didn't say this, but this is what I felt like saying. Stop giving me this struggle stuff. Just tell me that you're a liar. That's what I felt like saying. Now you can all tell I'm not a mercy person. But he was living a lie. He never even tried to stop. He needed to start struggling. That's what he needed to do. He signed his name to the application that he would follow the rules at Hillcrest. But he wasn't willing to do it. He wasn't true, clear through. Are you living a lie? And don't look around and see what other people are doing or what they appear to be doing and justify yourself. Let them be in their bondage. You be free. There will always be someone who is not doing what they should be doing. In your church, in your workplace, in your home. I say always, almost always, you can find things, people who are doing things that they shouldn't be doing, aren't doing it the way they should, or are not doing what they should. Or Satan will also help you see those things that where it appears like they're not doing what they should. Satan is really good at making things like that look that way to you. Well, it sure looks like they're not doing what they should. Satan's good at that one. Don't fall for it. You know what you should be doing and not doing. Be a person of integrity. A man in whom there's no guile, no deception. True, clear through. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Be true, sons and daughters. Now I want to talk about being people of our word in unconditional love. God is love. That's just who he is. It's not at all dependent upon the recipients of the love. It's not at all dependent on what others are doing or not doing. God just is love. That's who he is. And so if you and I are going to represent him, then you and I are going to say, I love. I've toyed with this idea of thinking of myself as I am love. You know, like God says, God is love. I don't know that I'm quite there yet, but I want people that when if they know me well and deeply, they can almost say that about me, that Leonard is synonymous to love, because Leonard will do what's best for me to the best of his ability and knowledge. But I'm very comfortable with saying, because God is love, I love, period. Regardless of what you do to me, regardless if you receive my love or not, I will love you. I love because I represent God who is love. And this is where it gets exciting. This is so exciting. None of us wants to be controlled by other people. No, we were created in God's image to be free, to have volition, the ability to choose, and none of us likes to be controlled by other people. This is one area where nobody can control you unless you allow the Satan and his dictator called the flesh, your flesh, to control you. Nobody can stop you from loving them. I'm competitive enough that I just really like this idea. I'll win every time. I can love you. I can love you. Period. All right, let's see the verses. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your enemy, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to them who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons. There it is again. you may be sons and daughters of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. So he is good to everybody. He loves everybody. He keeps bringing out the sun every morning, even on wicked people. He sends rain on the fields of the wicked people too. It's not dependent on the recipient at all. It's all about who the person is who is loving. God is love. And if we're going to be representing him well, and we're going to be true sons and daughters, we're going to do the same. We'll smile for everybody. We'll love everybody. We'll help everybody, whether they slash us in the back when we leave them or not. If you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Here is where we want to be true sons and daughters. We can always love. You can always be a true son or daughter. I remember years ago, when I was much younger, a fellow Christian, and I'm glad I don't remember who it was, somebody that I was working with or relating with or something, he was just being a jerk, and it was at me. It was being kind of nasty to me and uncooperative with what we needed to do and all that, and I was struggling with how to respond to him. I didn't know how to respond to him. How to win, okay? I didn't know how to win. I didn't know how to be a conqueror. And so I confided in another Christian friend, and he said, well, you know, the Bible says, love your enemies. And I was like, well, I don't have any enemies, because I was raised that. I was raised well, and I was taught that, no, you relate with everybody as your friend. You don't have enemies. And I really, as I thought, it's like, I don't know that I have, except the devil. I don't have any enemies in people. In that way, I was raised well. But my friend said, yes, but this guy is acting like an enemy. And the light dawned. And I was set free. And he pointed me to this. And he said, love your enemies, okay? And you might not think you have any enemies, but you have people in your life that act like enemies. Sometimes it's your very own biological brother or sister that's acting like an enemy. Love them. You can win every time. Love them. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. You can always do that. You can always represent your Father well. You can bless them. You can commend them and the things that they do well. You can pray for them. If you can't find anything else good to do, you can always pray for those who act like enemies. Now, this is going to cost you. It will cost you. It's not cheap. This will cost. Look at those words. Hate. Curse, spiteful use, persecution. That's what I'm calling you to. Embrace it. But even in that, you're victorious. Even in that, you are not held back. You are not restricted. And here's some verses that bring this out. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. So what I'm saying is we never have an excuse. We tend to make excuses. Well, because so-and-so, because he's doing wrong, then that gives me the right to do wrong. That's stupid. That's just two wrongs. Two wrongs make two wrongs. So why would you... Here's somebody that's doing wrong, and so then you want to justify yourself and saying, okay, that it's just understandable. It's just natural to have a bad attitude. Well, there's the second wrong, and you're multiplying wrongs. Why would we do that? But that's what we tend to do. Somebody's doing wrong, and then it justifies the second wrong. No, that's just the wrongs just keep growing. This is responding to wrong with right, but it costs. But it's what we want. We're rich enough. We can pay the price. Verse 21, for to this you were called. This is what you were called to. You were called to, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he didn't threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. He said, my dad's going to take care of you someday. I'm going to love you. My dad will take care of you. He committed himself, and he said, my dad will take care of me too. To him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Now, it's not just suffering for the sake of suffering. Jesus didn't suffer just for the sake of suffering. Jesus suffered because he wanted you and you and all of us to come to our Heavenly Father. That's the point of suffering. It's not just suffering for the sake of suffering. It's not just taking wrong for the sake of taking wrong. The reason we take wrong is to point people to the Father. That's what Jesus did. He came, he knew no sin, but he became sin for us to take us to God. And that's what we do through forgiving others. We don't hold it against them. We forgive them and represent the Father's heart to them, and it leads them to their Father. And then they'll become pleasant brothers and sisters just like we are, you know? That's awesome! For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. And here it is again. For Christ also suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust. And this is a principle that we struggle with. We say, well, he's such a good person. He's so nice. Oh, it's just terrible that these bad things are happening to him, or that so-and-so did something bad. Like that guy that got shot in the university, Charles something. You know, oh, that's just terrible that he got shot for speaking out and defending Christianity. It's like, no, this is how it's meant to be. The just for the unjust. To point people to God. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God the Father. That's the point. That he might bring us to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. There you have, and we need to do the same thing. Take up our cross, die to self, and we'll live in resurrection power that nothing can trump. Nothing can conquer that. So, smile. You've heard it said, smile. People will wonder what you're up to. That's kind of fun. Just walk into a room grinning like a possum. What's up? I'm going to change that saying, smile. People will wonder what you know that they don't. And let me tell you what you know that they don't, or what you can know that they don't. You can know that you are the precious daughter of Almighty God. And He's got your back. You can know that you have a love in your heart that nothing can conquer, because you have Jesus in your heart. And it doesn't matter what comes against you or who comes against you or how they act, whether it's a demented resident or a young person who knows exactly what they're doing. It doesn't matter. You can walk into every room of your life smiling, that smile of victory, of conquering, of security. Because you know something that too many Christians don't know. That nothing can stop you from loving. Nothing can stop you from being conqueror. Because my dad is God. Romans 8:29. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus is our oldest brother now. My big brother will take care of you. My big brother will look out for me. And I understand how, I'm not saying that as looking demeaning on other people. I'm just saying that that's the security we can live in. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? God, who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Our Father's saying, like He did to the elder brother, I am ever with thee, and all that I have is thine. That's what God says. How shall He not with Jesus also freely give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Jesus is praying for us. Now, this question. Read that first question with me. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And we're going to... I'll read what's in between here, but then... here's the answer. Nothing. Nothing. Okay? I'll read the other verses, and you read verse 39 with me. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword or mean people or unhandy circumstances? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And that's what I'm talking about. It's going to cost us. It's going to cost us. But the sufferings of this present world are nothing to be compared with the glory that we will experience. And the sufferings of this present world are nothing compared to the joy that we can have right through it, and the peace and the security if we allow it. Verse 36, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, and this is what I'm talking about. Verse 37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor things in the past, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, we've often read these verses, and we take it as God loves me unconditionally. There's nothing that can separate me from God's love except my unwillingness to receive it, perhaps. But I want you to look at it this way. There is nothing that can separate you from God's love to love other people except your willingness. Nothing can separate you from the love with which you love other people if you're willing. There's nothing that can separate you from that ability except yourself and your stubbornness. Nothing can separate me from love with which to love others. I have a Father who's got my back, although it requires suffering, and it hurts when love is rejected. That's some of the suffering. When we love others, and love is rejected. But Jesus was through that already. But there is nothing that can stop me from loving you. I will always win this battle. God makes it possible to be true, clear through. When people look at you, they can say, she always loves me. He always does the best, to the best of his knowledge and ability, what's best for me. It's true, clear through. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for being our Father, and that you are light, and in you there is no darkness at all. God, I believe everyone in this room wants to represent you well. Please help us. Please forgive us when we have tried to mix darkness with light. And we just commit ourselves to you, and we say, we choose to be willing to receive your love so that we can love others because you are love. I just commit this message to you in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.